Brian Ford of RBC Wealth Management joins us now for his Monday morning analysis of the business news. Hello, Brian.
Good morning, Wayne. How are you doing?
Just fine, thank you. Well, tell us about the trends on Wall Street. It seems to be investors are getting just a little bit more risk-averse. They're not willing to quite take the risks that they were just a short time ago.
Well, I think that's right, Wayne. I think that you've heard the old saying on Wall Street, sell in May and go away. The current mood is a risk-off trade. It's definitely the mood of the moment. Investors are sort of locking in profits they gained from earlier this year. Markets are only down about 2% this month, so it's not a big deal yet, but some analysts are highlighting a number of things that may impede further recovery, such as a stronger U.S. dollar, which may hurt exports, copper prices being down. That's an industrial metal that's very sensitive to the economy. Big pullbacks in oil, gold, and silver. Looking at both Europe and China tightening their fiscal policy. Will this all add up to a weaker economic recovery? Likely, yes. Will it lead to a second recession? Likely no, but this is what most economists are watching right now.
There was a big criminal case last week on insider trading. A hedge fund chief was convicted.
This was a big deal, Wayne. A billionaire hedge fund manager was convicted on 14 counts of insider trading, securities fraud, a conspiracy, and he was sentenced to 19 years in jail, which, of course, he will appeal. The gentleman's name is Raj Rajaratnam, and he runs a very high-profile hedge fund called the Galleon Hedge Fund. You know, what's the fallout and what are the implications? This is the biggest insider trading case ever. Wayne, you may remember it harkens back to the late 1980s, and if you remember the junk bond king, Michael Milken, and then Ivan Boesky. It's sort of that era. Jurors in this case cited what they called a, quote, systemic dishonesty. The government had a vast wiretap evidence as this gentleman, Rajaratnam, used an array of what are called expert networks to trade on insider information. But really, what does this all mean for individual investors? I think there's three main implications. Number one, I think hopefully it's some good news that we're weeding out some more bad apples from the system. That can only benefit people. Number two, more convictions are coming. The government has basically signaled very clearly, if you're doing this, the feds say they will spend time and energy to come get you. So you better clean up your act. The third thing I think is not so good, though. I think this type of case is very damaging to investors' psyche. I think, Wayne, it perpetuates the skepticism and stereotype that Wall Street is rigged, that little guys, or what I call real people, cannot get ahead. I think it's sort of a bad legacy, a bad hangover, if you will, from the Bernie Madoff in these hedge fund cases.
We have about a minute and a half to go. What sectors are doing the best on Wall Street just now?
Well, let's take a little quick peek behind the numbers, look at what sectors have done well and what the trends are pointing to. This data is at the end of April, Wayne. The leading sectors thus far for 2011 are healthcare, industrials, and that's because of exports and a weak U.S. dollar, consumer staples, you know, the things we use every day, and then utilities. Earnings growth really remains solidly in the double-digit range. It may be a little bit surprising to some. We measure what are called P.E. ratios, price-earning ratios. That's a measure of how much investors are willing to pay for stocks. It's around 13.5. Wayne, that's the lowest it's been in many years. We don't have a very expensive market at this point. The trend, though, is pointing towards an outperformance of defensive sectors where earnings and dividends are more predictable. You know, when uncertainty persists, this is likely to continue to occur. These defensive sectors like healthcare and utilities, you know, they lagged the recovery in 2009 and 2010. But they certainly are catching up now.
In about 40 seconds, bring us up to date on the debt crisis in some European countries.
Well, it's not good, Wayne. You know, the debt crisis gets worse every day. Last year, Greece made all the news, but now Ireland and Portugal are in a very tenuous state. The EU is talking about more emergency funding for Greece, but they're going to have to make significant cuts to get it. And here in the U.S., we're taking up our own debt discussion. whether we're going to raise our debt ceiling by $2 trillion. This is critically important, what it means to our ability to borrow in the world markets and the implications it has for our interest rates, which could go sharply higher if we don't raise our debt ceiling.
Okay, time's gone for this time, so thanks to Brian Ford of RBC Wealth Management. He joins us Monday mornings to analyze the business news.
Have a good day, Wayne.
Thanks, Brian.